I was thinking to myself, if I wasn't part of a church like this church, I don't know if I could make it. I don't know if I would still be standing here in the presence of God on a Sunday night, because any less than the power that we experience on a regular basis, I don't know if it would have been enough. I imagine God knew that too. And so he directed me here and he directed you here because he wanted to give us access to the full power. The transformational power of God that can truly overcome this flesh and create things in us that would never be there except God made them possible. And so I'm so grateful again for a pastor that made that choice to answer the call, to then create an opportunity for me to receive this truth. And for a church that lives the life, not just on Sundays, not just on Wednesdays, but every day. The power that we experience in this place, it's not a one-man show. It's the aggregate value of our collective commitment to God. And if we'll collectively continue to commit to God, he'll continue to demonstrate the power. But if we'll as a group start to step back in any way, well, then the same will be true for God as he steps back away. And so I'm so grateful. One, that God continually manifests his presence and power in this place, but that all of you have continued to make that commitment, because without you making that commitment, I don't know if I could be here. We're all in this together. So tonight, if you have your Bibles, if you turn to Isaiah 55, starting in verse 11, and I can't see who's up on the screen tonight, but brother, if you would keep the screen down so that you could share some more scriptures. Thank you, brother. We're going to start in Isaiah 55 and verse 11. God started to speak this verse to me over and over a few weeks ago, and all of a sudden, this last Wednesday night, he just opened up my understanding to it in a way that I hadn't even considered. And I'd like to share that with you tonight here. And so Isaiah 55 and 11, we've made this verse the theme of our youth Bible study flight simulator little project that started last week, and this was the second week of it. This is the theme. If we put a verse or a banner over this thing that's going on, is the youth are learning to and practice teaching the word of God. Isaiah 55 and 11 says this: "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it." I have to keep reminding myself that God doesn't need my help. He's fully capable. The only thing he needs is my obedience. He could do anything, except he's chosen not to force me to obey. He gave me the choice. And his words will accomplish whatever he wants them to accomplish. And his words will prosper and go wherever he wants them to go. Not because of me, not because of you, because they're his words. If it was up to my ability tonight, we'd all be in trouble. But whatever God intends, he will accomplish it. As we've launched this Bible study teacher's flight sim last week, we had two brave young people teach their first Bible study today. First time flights. Can you imagine if you were to, let's transfer over Sister Jenkins to the cockpit of an airplane, and it's the first time you're able to take off and try this thing out, and then you come in for a successful landing, the feeling that you have? Well, I saw some young people that they had a smooth takeoff and they soared around and then came in for a smooth landing and realized, hey, I can do this.
Right.
And you know what? It feels pretty good.
Amen.
Were they nervous? Yeah, they were nervous. I got a few texts last night. Can we wait till next week? Can we push it right? Wanting to somehow prepare more. And I said, look, it's not about you getting it all right. It's just about you obeying the word of God and taking that first step. And if you'll open your mouth, God will do the rest.
Amen.
Not because you're the most eloquent speaker, although we had some very good speakers today. Not because you know the Bible inside and out, although we have some very knowledgeable young people. But because you're simply obedient, God, his word,
Amen.
Will do the rest. Would you pray with me tonight? Jesus, we're so grateful, God, for your word that you've given us and the words that go forth from this pulpit, God, and for the power that's in this place, God, that allows us to continue on, to grow and to mature, to become part of your kingdom, God. And we ask that your word would continue to do whatever it is you will tonight, God, that it would go forth, that it wouldn't be hindered. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I'm sure every one of those youth today, they wanted to just, right, they wanted to do it just right, perfect. I could see, and you could, it showed in their preparation. I took a little poll before we started and said, well, and I didn't ask them, I had them write it down on a card without their name on it. I said, well, how many hours did you spend preparing your lesson? And how many hours did you spend in prayer preparing yourself for your lesson? And I'll tell you, church, it was impressive to see that they recognized there was a commitment that it was going to take and that it just wasn't flick the switch and here I am. It was, I'm going to invest my time, my energy. And as a result, God can bless that.
Amen.
And again, their very first flights, so to speak, as a Bible study teacher. And I'll tell you what, as they started to speak, I felt the presence of God move in that place. And you know what, that doesn't just happen even through obedience, but you have a life that's connected, a prayer life, a relationship with God. And as they spoke those words, as we talked last week to them, it's not about your skill, it's not about your ability, it's not about your charisma. Yeah, you'll get better with practice like anything, but it's really about obedience to God. Obedience to God in prayer, as God has asked us to pray. In obedience to God in faithfulness, obedience to God in now speaking his word to share it with somebody else. And in that obedience, God can do whatever he will. Through the words that are spoken, his word won't return void.
Amen.
And it will accomplish whatever it wants, and it shall prosper whereunto the thing God sent it. There were some powerful words spoken in that room today. So tonight, before we circle back to our opening text, I'd like to take a little bit of a detour, if you don't mind. And you may remember some of this. I actually shared some of it almost 10 years ago. And so if you turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1, starting in verse 1, I'd like to talk a little bit about some powerful words. So starting at the very beginning, Genesis 1, I'm sure most of us are very familiar with the story of creation. And so let's just start reading together, and then we'll skip ahead a little bit here and there. And I'd like to share some statistics that go with this story, just to paint a little bit clearer picture of what it really means. What the scriptures capture. So in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, he spoke it, he said, let there be light, and there was light. So let's pause right there on verse number 3. As God says, let there be light, what he meant was, I want something to be both a particle and a wave. Nothing like it exists except this thing called light, and it must have the ability to go everywhere and anywhere all at once, interacting with all the things that I'm going to create that don't yet exist. And in fact, it's going to be able to be seen by my creation as well as feed and nourish those things like plants. That's what I mean when I want to say, when I say I want there to be light. It has to be able to transmit warmth. It has to have energy that could be used. As we continue to read in verse 6, here we have another statement from God, words that were spoken. And God said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." Sounds like a simple statement. But what he really meant when he said, "Let there be a firmament," was, I want 600 billion to the 13th exponential power tons of ground made of 3,300 different types of minerals. Yeah, that's a lot for just a little sentence. Do you remember exponential powers from math, where it takes so much to write out all those zeros, they just put a little number after the first number to say, okay, skip the zeros, there's 13 of them after this?
Yeah.
600 billion, and then that little number, the 13th exponential power, tons of ground, material, minerals. That's what he meant when he said, let there be a firmament. Wow. And when God said in verse 9, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. What he really specifically meant was, I want 148 million square kilometers of dry land to be separated from 1.1 trillion gallons of water that will form the oceans and the seas. It's a lot for just a little sentence. And when God said in verse 11, let the earth bring forth grass and herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. What he was really saying was, I'd like 26,000 different species of plants to be planted strategically all over this greenhouse garden I call earth, so that they'll prosper and continue on. And in verse 14, when God says, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs, for seasons, and for days and years. Those seven words at the beginning of that verse 14 actually translate into at least 100,000 stars in just this galaxy that surrounds Earth. But 100,000 stars wasn't enough. In fact, scientists estimate that there are 100 billion galaxies like ours, each with 100,000 stars of them. And so when he said, let there be light in the firmament, he was talking about an infinite number of stars, just like that. It's no wonder that Psalms 147 and verse 4 says this, and you don't have to go there. It says, he telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them by their names. Billions and billions and billions to the, I can't even know what power that is. It says in verse 5 of that Psalms 147, great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. So back to Genesis in verse 20, when God says, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life and the fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven, he more specifically spoke into existence 29,000 water-dwelling vertebrates and over 10,000 different species of birds. And when God says in verse 24, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and the beast after his kind, and it was so, his spoken words, a brief sentence, produced 7,984 species of reptiles, 5,400 species of amphibians, 4,475 species of mammals, and then there's my wife's favorite, it also brought with it 20 million species of invertebrates that dwell in the air, the land, and the water, including the spiders that live in our garage. 20 million. He must have liked those invertebrates, because there's a lot more of those than anything else that he made in that sentence. Or he had a purpose for them. I guess they do catch a few bugs, although they themselves seem like bugs. Then in verse 26, God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. You know, in every other verse that we read, as God spoke just a few words, God created millions upon millions of things into existence. He spoke them, and they were there. But when he spoke this last one, just a few words produced one thing, singular in nature, just like Jesus is singular in nature. A single species that holds the image of God, one that's after his likeness. And then Jesus endued that single entity with power and authority over all the 30 million plus other things he had just created. You know, God didn't need any help from the angels. He didn't find the most engineer-like angels and say, okay, here's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for this thing called light to be produced, so I need you to come up with something that's going to produce it in an ongoing way and never need to be recharged like batteries. No, he didn't go get help to create the things. He created them by simply speaking it. He spoke and it was. He spoke and it was. And not just once, but millions and billions of things.
Amen.
The power of just a few words from God. So now let's turn back to our opening text. But I want to start in Isaiah 55 in verse 8. Isaiah 55 in verse 8 says this, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it to bring forth, and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater." You know, I've said before, it's amazing to see how specific and how detailed God is as an engineer of all the things that he created with just those few words.
Amen.
Like, he didn't just say it and it was, oh yeah, there was some amoeba, right, that did something. No, he made this body that can perform and do things that man can't even create or recreate.
Amen.
He spoke all of these things to work into this ecosystem so that they work together in some way to continue life as we know it on earth. Even the weather works in a way that he designed it to work specifically in order to fulfill his will. And he's the one who still controls the weather and makes things happen or not happen, because the Bible says that he goes before all things and that all things are made by him so that he might have preeminence. There is no other one that's in control. He hasn't let go of the thing that he created. He is still present ever in everything. And so when you think about the weather, right, the moisture goes up into the sky, clouds are formed, clouds move around wherever they go, and then rain comes down, and then the cycle begins again, and sometimes it's snow, sometimes it's water, sometimes it's ice on the ground. It's all these things God engineered in just a few words in a sentence.
Amen.
Perfectly. And so as you think about that the level of detail that went into engineering this world we live in and the things that we see in even ourselves, this body.
Amen.
He takes that comparison and says, I made all these things, the rain, starting in verse 10, the rain that cometh down and the snow from heaven, and it returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and make it to bring forth bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. And verse 11, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. As well engineered as I made this earth and the environment that we live in and the weather patterns and the food cycle and all those things, this ecosystem, as my word goes forth, it accomplishes my will, just like the weather accomplishes my will and the food chain accomplishes my will and the body I designed for you accomplishes my will. And it shall not return unto me void, and it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper unto the thing whether I sent it. Let me tell you, God's in control of a lot more than just the weather.
Amen.
And when his word goes forth, it doesn't matter how old you are.
Right.
It doesn't matter how well-spoken you are.
Amen.
It doesn't matter how tall or short you are.
Right.
The only thing that matters is that his words went forth.
Amen.
That they were spoken.
Right.
Then the rest is up to God.
Amen.
He's the one that's in control of everything anyways.
Amen.
The only thing he can't control is our obedience. We're talking about powerful words, but as powerful as these words are, they lack only one thing. They can't speak for themselves. They can do anything God wants them to do. They can go anywhere God wants them to go and touch anything he wants them to touch, but they can't speak for themselves. No, God gave that responsibility to you and me. The one creature that's singular in nature, that holds God's image, that he gave dominion over this whole earth, 30 million plus different species. Turn with me now to Ezekiel chapter 37, starting in verse 2. Ezekiel 37 and verse 2 says this, As he caused me to pass by round about them, and behold, there were very many in the open valley. And he's talking about bones that he's seen. And lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? So the prophet is having a conversation with God. And God is saying, can these bones live? And I answered him, O Lord God, thou knowest. I don't know if they can live, God, but you know. You have the answers to everything. In verse 4 it says, again he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Well, in order to hear the word of the Lord, it has to be spoken out loud. In verse 5, it goes on to say, thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews or ligaments upon you, and you will bring and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So God's giving this direction to the prophet, saying, I want you to speak these things. Now, wait a minute here. We're in this environment. There's bones that are dry here. And didn't God just say those things? Shouldn't that just been enough? Like, God, if this is your will, you just said it. So, I mean, good to go, right? No. He said, you, my man, my woman, you need to say it. I'm telling you because I put you in charge in this place I created. And verse 7, it goes on to say, here's now the obedience that followed. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, or as I spoke, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the ligaments and the flesh, they came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then he said unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon the slain, that they may live. I mean, if we're in this environment and we're thinking, hey, it's me or God, and God's already talking, I think we'll just kind of default to God. To, you know, you take over here, God. You don't, what do you need me for? Goes on in verse 10, it says, So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and they stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Now, if the prophet hadn't been obedient, would those dry bones have lived? Now, if you or I aren't obedient, would those that are dead in their sins ever become alive in Christ? No, they'll just be like the dry bones, waiting for someone. God can even know there's a pile that needs someone right over there. It's a mess. They're dead, they're broken, they're pieces laying all over. And it's been like that for years. They're dry. But I'm not going to go over there as God. I need a man, a woman, to go over there and speak the things, the word of God. Amen. You know, switching gears just a little bit, I've often wondered, how often should I pray for a thing, a situation in my life? Like, is there, you know, the Bible says that we shouldn't just pray in repetition vainly. It's just like the quantity of times we repeat this word somehow is going to, like, change the outcome or the way that God perceives our prayer. But so I've wondered, so what is the frequency? How often should I pray for a situation? Take my wife's condition, for instance, in that she suffers pain, and days like today, she literally can't function very well. Her digestive system doesn't work. She has to eat special foods. And she does her best to kind of maintain, but A lot of the time, she's not in control of it. It's whatever happens, whenever it happens, kind of out of the blue. And so I've prayed for my wife. I've pleaded, and everything in between. I wouldn't even try to count them that many times. And so I've had this principle that in the past, God, I've made the request, and so now I'm just going to trust you. And there's some good in that principle, in that, hey, it's not up to me about the outcome. I simply need to make the request. But then do I wait till next month or next week or, right, how often should I make that request? So this is the question I was asking myself and thinking about. And Brother East, a man of God that's sensitive, God directed him to me. And if you know Brother East, he has a long, long list of people he prays for. And when he says he's going to pray for you, he means it. He's going to speak your name on a daily basis because he spends a lot of time in obedience. And so he had shared with my wife and I that he was going to make my wife his special project. He was going to pray more for her in frequency and than maybe he does for some other situations. And so he came to me one time when he was here and he said, you know, I pray for your wife every day. I said, yeah, I know. I thank you for that. He said, no, I pray for her many times every day. He's like, not to say this is the way to do it or that you should do it, but he said, I just, as a way to remember, every time I'm about to eat food, I call out her name. And so he said, hey, I'm wondering if we could partner. If I pray for your wife, will you pray for mine? And so, of course, I agreed. And I won't even compare myself to Brother East's prayer life, but to the best of my ability, I started calling out his wife's name as often as I could. And I guarantee you it's not as often as he does. But all of a sudden, I started to see something and feel something in a different way, that it wasn't about repetition, it was about obedience. It wasn't about begging and pleading, it was about just walking in obedience to the Word of God and making that request known. And not out of frustration, not out of desperation, but out of simple obedience and knowing that if I was that, then God would be the rest. You know, normal sound waves, as even in this auditorium, as in the sanctuary, as I say a word, the sound goes forward, the amplification system picks it up and then makes it even louder, but it just lasts for a minute, a moment, not even a minute. In fact, we've got all sorts of things in place, curtains and foam, to make sure that sound doesn't bounce off and ruin the acoustics in this building. But even if we didn't have that, it would just last maybe another fraction of a second, right? It bounces off the wall and then dissipates. And the normal sound waves, they only go so far. They hit things, they become weaker. And in fact, down in the new youth room, there's a really loud compressor that runs the fire sprinkler system, or keeps the pressure in the sprinkler system constant. And as we're down there, at first when it kicked on, it scared you. It was that loud. It's a loud one. I'm sure there's quieter compressors, but we didn't get one of those quiet ones. And so as we're down there, like, you know, that's kind of a problem here. We're having service. God's moving. All of a sudden, this really loud, distracting compressor turns on. So, of course, we built a wall, and that was the first step. And then we put some layers on the wall, and then we put some insulation on the wall, and then we build a cabinet, and they actually make sound deadening material that you can like line a soundproof room with. And then they go into all this kind of detail. You have to have the right kind of caulk, because sound waves want to be transmitted even through concrete, even through the densest of materials. You have to have really special something to stop that sound wave. But even the strongest, loudest sound waves, like that compressor, you can barely hear it up here, right? It only gets so far. Luckily, we've got it down to probably an okay, quiet, manageable now, and we should be fine in terms of the youth room. But sound just, it only goes so far. But imagine a sound wave that was so capable that itself had the ability, when it was emitted from your vocal cords, that it never dissipated, that it went forward and never stopped, because it's not powered by mankind, it's powered by God. You know, I've asked one of our Bible study pilots, Nathaniel, would you come up here and join me? He's going to help me with a little illustration, because I really want to make this point really clear. And I'll tell you what, Nathaniel, he is an amazing young man with a sensitivity and love for God and a commitment to prayer like I've rarely seen in someone any age, frankly. And so, brother, if you could put Romans 10 and 17 up on the screen for us, I want to use this scripture, and Nathaniel is going to help me with this illustration. So imagine, normal sound, when you let it out, it dissipates and stops. It only gets so far. But supernatural sounds, the word of God doesn't stop. It doesn't hit the wall and then all of a sudden it's no longer. And so imagine Nathaniel, he's going to be the physical representation of the sound wave that is the word of God, the spoken word, the out loud spoken word of God. And as that sound wave is released, it doesn't just go for a second like it does when you hear it through this microphone. It continues on past that. Think about it. How many times has God spoken something into your heart and it comes back to you over and over and over and over again? Years can go by and all of a sudden God will bring this thought back to you. Like, remember? Oh, yeah. His word, when it's spoken, doesn't just last for that moment, that second. Amen. It'll go where it wants to go, and it will do what it wants to do, and it won't return void. Amen. It'll always accomplish the will of God. Amen. And so imagine as I read this verse out loud, as this is that scripture going forward as this supernatural sound, and he's going to then continue to go around for the rest of this service as this example. So at the risk of being distraction, it's a really important point I want to make tonight. And so faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We're going to release that word of God forward. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing cometh by the word of God. But if it's not spoken, it can't come. So you know what we should do? We should release some more here tonight. We should just let that word out, so it can go and do what it wants to do and accomplish whatever is the will of God and go wherever God wants it to go. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 26 says this, that he might sanctify and cleanse it by the washing of the water, by the word, the spoken word. And these words, they clean better than Tide, Cheer, Clorox, because verse 26 says, or 27 says, that he might present it, these words, as they cleanse, as they clean, as they go forward and produce something, not just for that moment, but on a continual basis. The outcome is that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it shall be holy and without blemish. Well, how does that happen? Well, because the word went forth. Amen. It was spoken, and it cleansed, and it created a scenario that is a continuous scenario, not just a one-time momentarily in this second. Amen. But had that word not been spoken, had it not been out loud, it couldn't have performed anything. It wouldn't go anywhere. It would do nothing. Here's another scenario. As long as we're on this earth, you know, we all are going to face battles, situations, challenges. So you know what you need in a good firefight? It's the word of God. Amen. You need a weapon that's more powerful than anything man can make. Amen. And the word from God can go and accomplish whatever is the will of God. It's not stopped by time. It's not stopped by situations. It's not stopped by walls. Amen. It can go and do whatever God wills that word to do. And so Psalms 18 and 30 says this, As for God, his way is perfect. The word, the spoken word of God, of the Lord, is tried. It's like a weapon that's been proven. And we know, because it's been proven in our lives, that the word of God, as it applies to us, as we apply it, as we have obedience to the word of God, now we have that protection. Now we have those weapons in our hands that we can use, that God has equipped us with. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. The word of the Lord. Now, unless you were born as a young person to a family that had already received this truth, and I know there's many here, except for those people, most of us weren't born into this as a young child, growing up and knowing this truth. Many of us went to church. Many of us understood various levels of our understanding of what the Bible said, and still had a genuine love for God, but until God opened up this truth and the reality of who Jesus is, and that you can be baptized in his name for the remission of sins, and that he wants to instill his spirit in you with the evidence of speaking in tongues, until that happened, someone had to tell you about that in order for it to occur. I mean, did someone open up their mouth and tell you that there was such a thing as the Holy Ghost? Did someone tell you that you need to find an altar of repentance and ask God to forgive you for your sins? Had someone not told you that, would you have just done it? Oh, I know, you got one of those cards like I did that said, you've won a free baptism. Come to Apostolic Faith Church to redeem your free baptism. I mean, we might, if that's the will of God that I'm seeking, we might want to try that, but I don't think it is probably, because most of them, well, actually, that would go contrary to what we're hearing tonight. It needs to be spoken. Someone needs to tell you, like they told me. In fact, they invited me to their living room and said, I'd like to teach you a Bible study. And as they did, they taught me that you need to be baptized in the name of Jesus. Had they not spoken those words, how would I know? You could have sent all the cards and invites you wanted. It wouldn't have meant anything to me. But a person got involved. A person spoke to those dead bones and said, hey, you could live. You know, I've read our opening text, and I've heard it preached many, many times, and I'm sure you have too, but this week, these last 2 weeks, in fact, God showed me this bigger, broader view of how it's not us, it's not our eloquence, it's not our skill, it's not our whatever spirituality that produces outcomes, it's our obedience. To the degree that we'll be obedient is to the degree at which God will show himself strong on our behalf, and to the same degree we will then see things, the miraculous, happening around us. And so as we opened up this Bible study flight simulator program with these young people, we started with this principle that as much as you want to do your best, and they all do, trust me, it's not your best that's going to reach a lost soul. It's your obedience that's going to reach a lost soul. As they opened up the Word of God and taught their first Bible studies today, two of them did. We've got three more next week. Three more next week. You know, they're brand new pilots. And they did really well. I was impressed in every instance. But it wasn't their practice that brought the presence of God into that room. It was their obedience. And since that God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, his words, even when spoken by a 10-year-old, I mean, that's our youngest pilot. We've got little Tyler King in there, and he taught his first Bible study tonight. At 10 years old, he's ready to start speaking the word of God. Amen. We've got 10-year-olds, we've got 12-year-olds, we've got 16-year-olds, we've even got 20-year-old. It doesn't matter. It only matters that there's an obedience to that direction that God has given us. And so it doesn't matter your age. If the words that are spoken can accomplish the same things they did when Peter first spoke them in Acts chapter 10, if you'd turn there with me, then as these young people, or any one of us for that matter, will be in that same place of obedience, it's not up to us for the outcome, because God's word will go forward and it will accomplish what it will, and it will go wherever it wants to go, and it will prosper, and it won't return void. And so as these young people or any one of us start to follow that pattern of obedience, then we'll see the same outcomes as Peter saw as he shared those words and spoke out loud. In Acts chapter 10, verse 44, it says, while Peter yet spake these words, he didn't think them, he didn't put them in a flyer, he spoke them. As he spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all of them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water, that these should not be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. I see sometimes you get a little bit of a glimpse into maybe some of the plans that God has. And he had them a long time ago, and somehow when we all of a sudden get caught up to his plans, every once in a while we get a little glimpse of what may be coming down the road. And let me tell you what I see coming down the road. I see young people speaking the word of God, and the word of God doing the work that is going to reach lost souls, dry bones. And you know, we've been working on this youth room below us, and I'll be honest, when we started, I thought it would have been done a long time ago. But you know what? God knows exactly what he's doing in the situations and the timing of things, and amen. Even when we think somehow we've fallen short, no, that was exactly his intent, because there's a timing in it. Amen. And so I can see in just a short while down the way, as the word of God goes forth out of these young people, just out of simple obedience, not because they're master Bible study teachers, but because they're willing to make themselves available. Amen. And as we complete this construction, there's going to be a new environment that would be like, hey, would you like to come to a Bible study in our upper room downstairs? And God is going to fulfill the same thing we heard in Acts chapter 10 as the Holy Ghost falls on people. Amen. Not because we're amazing teachers, but because we're just obedient. And God will perform whatever he will. Amen. And go wherever he wants to. Yes. And it won't return void to him. It will prosper. Amen. 1 Corinthians 14:2 says, as he's given us this gift, and as we think about the words that we speak when we're filled with this Holy Ghost and we speak in tongues, we speak words that we can't comprehend, and 1 Corinthians 14:2 explains that. It says, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. So if you have any familiarity with speaking in tongues, you understand that it's not you that's speaking in the words you don't understand. I've shared this before, that I've read reports and seen videos of neurologists monitoring the brain of a Holy Ghost individual like you and I, and they were performing tests, and they monitored this brain activity, and they had the participants talk in their normal English language, and they had them even sing worship songs in English in a way that, you know, to make sure they kind of invoked that emotion that might go with the words, because you could say something, but when you say it, right, in worship, it does take on a different meaning. And as they had participants do these two things, they were noting, using technology, where was all the brain activity. We heard about the right brain and the left brain this morning, and they can see activity. They can't tell you how it all works, but they can see there's electrons firing here and there, and there's something, right, in that computer called your brain that's transacting, and it changes, like we heard this morning. Sometimes you use the right side, sometimes you use the left side, and sometimes you don't use any side, and then we all get in trouble. But as they're watching these participants and testing them with English, they can see, oh, yep, that's exactly where language activity generally occurs in the brain, as that's a common pattern across all human beings. But when those same participants then started to speak in an unknown tongue, as the Holy Ghost gave the utterance, that place that was all lit up went dark. Because it wasn't them speaking.
Amen.
It wasn't them conveying. Yeah, their mouth was moving, their tongue was moving, but the language, it wasn't coming from the same part of the brain, because God was giving them the language.
Amen.
When we pray in that unknown language, if we don't know what we're saying, then it must be God who knows what we're saying.
Right.
And if God knows what he's saying, then he must be speaking something specific.
Amen.
I'm pretty sure he's not like, you know, the little toddlers that just kind of jibber-jabber and all over the place, and sometimes they make sense. I wish I had videos of my son when he was young. He had the best jibber-jabber, and he would talk it with conviction. Like, and you would have a conversation with him, but he would continue in his own language of, you know, before he learned English. But I'm pretty sure as God speaks through us in tongues, he's not jibber-jabbering nonsense. He's speaking his words.
Amen.
You don't have to turn there, but in Proverbs 1 and 23, the Holy Ghost has prophesied, and it says this: "Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you, and I will make known my words unto you." As God fills us with his spirit, he's putting his words in us.
Amen.
Not that we understand what we're saying, but that we understand where they're coming from. Tonight, why don't we all stand, and if the musicians would come. I mean, start to consider this. If we know those words that we speak in another language are flowing from our vocal cords, are directly from God, and we know that he doesn't just speak jibber-jabber, and we know that his words will not return unto him void, we know that his words will accomplish whatever it is that he pleases, and that they will go and prosper wherever he sends them to go. And then we consider that in creation, just a few words from God created galaxies, infinite numbers of stars. And then a few words, everything that exists was formed in this perfectly well-engineered system we live in. And what is he doing with those words that emanate from your vocal cords? What is he speaking into existence that didn't exist just a moment ago because you allowed it to come from you? Not because you have the ability to speak worlds into existence, but you have the choice to be obedient or not.
Amen.
As we get ready to close and open up this altar, I'd ask everyone to shut their eyes. And I want you to imagine this scenario with me. With your eyes shut, imagine the words of God are trapped inside a glass box. You can see them, and you can see that they're in this glass box, and you can perceive that they want to get out. They're trapped in this glass box, but they can't let themselves out. So you walk over to this glass box, and you try and open it, but there's no handle, there's no way to open the box and let the words out. But then you open your mouth, and suddenly, like a rushing mighty wind, all of those words that were once trapped in this glass box are now able to escape. As they escape out of your mouth, from your vocal cords. And imagine, just like Nathaniel, as that one scripture, one word from God was released, it continued to go and do whatever it will and touch whomever it wants to touch and accomplish whatever it wants to accomplish, because it's not your words, they're God's. So now most every one of us here tonight, we've already been given this gift. We have the experience of speaking another language. And if you don't, I'll tell you, God wants to give it to you tonight.
Amen.
He doesn't want you to go home and wonder about it. He wants you to experience it so that you too can allow his words to go forward from your mouth. But since most every one of us have that gift, that ability tonight, I wonder if we wouldn't all just let some words out.